I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Monday, August 3rd. Police are investigating after a motor vehicle crash left two drivers injured in Braintree. Police responded about 4 a.m. Saturday to the area of 555 Pond Street on reports of a motor vehicle crash. Officers arrived and found a Nissan and a Mazda with heavy front-end damage. Police said both drivers were injured in the collision. The driver of the Nissan was found unconscious and suffering from serious internal injuries. Officers removed the driver from the vehicle and provided emergency aid until firefighters and paramedics arrived. Both drivers were taken to South Shore Hospital for treatment. Then the Nissan driver was Boston Med-flighted to a Boston hospital for further treatment. The accident remains under investigation. A second person has died days after a stolen SUV crashed into a tree while being chased by police in Abington. The Plymouth County DA's office says that a female victim had died from her injuries in the crash last Wednesday morning on Washington Street. The driver, identified as 17-year-old Sebastian Hamilton of Weymouth, was pinned inside the vehicle with fatal injuries. A 14-year-old passenger was ejected from the vehicle, and the other three passengers who remained inside the vehicle had life-threatening injuries and were taken to area hospitals and then later transferred to Boston hospitals for treatment. Authorities said the others involved in the crash ranged in age from 14 to 17. A police officer in Abington spotted the Hyundai SUV, which had been reported stolen out of Brockton on Tuesday. The officer tried to pull the vehicle over. The vehicle took off at a high rate of speed, apparently left the road and hit a tree. Video from the scene showed a heavily damaged red SUV off the side of the road next to a large tree. Crash remains under investigation. The officer involved has been placed on leave for administrative and not punitive reasons. The officer's name has not been released, but he's been with the department for under 2 years. Well, jurors in the Lindsay Clancy case started day four of the high-profile murder trial on Friday with a visit to the Duxbury home where she admitted to killing her three young children. Back in court, they heard from doctors who treated two of her children and police officers who were with her in the hospital after the murders. According to a court order, the jurors were able to inspect the outside of the property as well as the basement and all rooms on the first and second floors. Jurors were not allowed to open closet doors or touch any items inside the house. Before getting to the house, the jurors were driven by the 3V restaurant in Plymouth, where Patrick Clancy picked up food Lindsay ordered on the night of the murders. They then passed by the Kingston CVS, where Patrick Clancy picked up medicine for Cora. The jurors were supervised by police during the three visits. Once they returned to Plymouth Superior Court, jurors heard more testimony from first responders who saw Lindsay Clancy in the hospital after the fall that paralyzed her. Testimony concluded for the day at about 12:30 on Friday afternoon, Judge William Sullivan telling jurors that the case was proceeding ahead of schedule. Court will resume this morning. An 8-week-old baby may never walk or speak after allegedly being physically abused by her mother. 34-year-old Jillian Timmons of Abington was arraigned in Brockton District Court on Friday. The charges of assault and battery on a child causing serious bodily injury and reckless endangerment. She pleaded not guilty and was ordered held on $100,000 cash bail, with an order not to contact the baby or the child's father if she's released. After Timmons brought the baby to South Shore Hospital on July 17th, doctors found she had a core body temperature of 93 degrees, well below normal, with bruising on both sides of her face. She was flown by helicopter to Boston Children's Hospital, where she remained in the neonatal intensive care unit on Friday. A lawyer for Timmons told the judge that Timmons was a doting first-time mother, and she suggested the evidence in the case points to someone else harming the child, not Timmons. The investigation remains ongoing, Timmons is set for another court hearing on August 31st. Well, a Quincy woman is pleading for the return of her engagement ring given her by her late fiancé days after she lost the precious item while running errands. Gabriel Fuller and Brandon Staves had planned to spend forever together, but 6 months before their wedding date, Staves unexpectedly passed away. Fuller said she lost her wallet containing the ring at about 5 a.m. on July 24th when leaving the CVS on Beale Street in Wollaston. Fuller says cameras show her leaving with the wallet, but there is no outside footage. She believes she dropped the wallet shortly after leaving the store. Soon after, her credit cards were used for fraudulent charges, indicating that the ring was in the wrong hands. Fuller filed a police report and called local pawn shops. She provided a picture and description of the ring to police and hopes their coordination with pawn shops will develop a lead. As Fuller works on offering a reward, she's also asking the community to keep an eye out for the irreplaceable item. A sidewalk installation project in Quincy has taken a lot of people by surprise. The Department of Conservation and Recreation is replacing sidewalks along Quincy Shore Drive to C Street. The project began earlier this summer, but State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy says officials did not do a good job notifying residents who are being impacted by the work. Chan says the agency followed past notification procedures, but pledged to do a better job of resident notification in the future. The current project also includes the replacement of underground electrical conduit and 12 light poles. It is slated to continue into the fall. Governor Healey urging lawmakers on Friday to quickly pass her energy affordability legislation, saying it would lower utility bills, increase oversight of utility companies, and provide relief to households and businesses struggling with high energy costs. In a letter sent to lawmakers negotiating the final version of the bill, Healey called for swift action and criticized utility companies for pursuing higher rates while profits and shareholder payouts continue to increase. Governor's proposal, first filed in May of last year, aims to reduce energy costs by changing how energy is purchased, eliminating certain fees and charges from customer bills, increasing oversight of utility spending, and expanding access to more affordable local energy sources. Healey also called on utilities to drop legal challenges tied to customer refunds and stop seeking rate increases she says many residents can't afford. According to the governor, several major utilities, including National Grid, Eversource, Berkshire Gas, and Liberty Gas, have sought rate increases over the past year, some as high as 55%. The administration argues that significant infrastructure spending has contributed to those requests while also increasing utility profits. Governor says her proposal would give Massachusetts additional tools to control costs by bringing more energy supplies online, removing unnecessary expenses from customer bills, and holding utilities accountable for excessive spending. Pressure has been mounting to slash costs for consumers facing high electricity and natural gas bills across Massachusetts. Cryptocurrency ATMs, often found in gas stations and convenience stores across Massachusetts, are facing a potential statewide ban as lawmakers debate a major economic development bill. Supporters of the proposal argue that the kiosks have become a favored tool for scammers who persuade victims to convert cash into cryptocurrency and send it to criminals, often making the money difficult or impossible to recover. According to law enforcement, Massachusetts residents lost more than $77 million to cryptocurrency kiosk scams in 2024 alone, a figure investigators believe is likely underreported. A ban on cryptocurrency ATMs is included in economic development legislation being considered by lawmakers this week. Authorities say the details may differ from case to case, but the scams often end the same way. Victims are instructed to deposit cash into a cryptocurrency kiosk and transfer the funds to a digital wallet controlled by the scammers. In some cases, investigators have been able to recover money quickly by obtaining search warrants and freezing cryptocurrency before it can be moved. Lawmakers are continuing negotiations on the economic development bill. Under new Senate rules, legislators can continue debating measures in conference committee beyond the traditional July 31st deadline until January. A check of business news this morning. Stocks are higher. The Dow was up 276 points. The NASDAQ rose 251. And the S&P is up 52. World stocks are mixed. The dollar and the euro fell. Oil is at $83 a barrel. Sports. Red Sox complete a sweep of the Dodgers on the West Coast, beating them 8-4. They're back home at Fenway tomorrow night for a series with the White Sox beginning at 7:10. Forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, showers and some embedded heavier downpours. Muggy with a high of 80 degrees. The showers will linger this evening. Lows drop off to the mid-60s. Sunshine returns tomorrow, high of 83. Cloudy on Wednesday, high of 83. And scattered thunderstorms Thursday, high 88. For the boater today, waves are about 2 feet. Winds out of the south, 15 to 20. With gusts to 30 knots, there is a small craft advisory in effect. High tide, 3:23 p.m. Sunrise, 5:39, sets at 8:01. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Monday, August 3rd.